Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. Hope your summer is enjoyable for you and that you're able to get out and do a lot of things. One of the things that we have to face whenever we talk about sports and life is the fact that careers come to an end and sometimes life comes to an end. And we saw the passing a few days ago of legendary coach Pat Summitt, who was the head women's coach at the University of Tennessee, had been there for a long time, was legendary, and had the most wins of any basketball coach, men, male or female, anywhere. And she had a great, great career, and one of the things that, of course, happens is sometimes life takes a terrible turn, and for Pat Summitt a few years ago, she had the she contracted the terrible disease of Alzheimer's and just recently passed away. We never did an interview with Pat Summitt, but we did do an interview a few years ago with one of her key players, and we've had a number of players on that have played for Pat, but one of the key players that she had was Shayna Zolman, who comes from Wawasee High School in Syracuse, Indiana, and Shayna is now working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Washington, but when we did the interview, she not only talked about her life, but talked about the tremendous impact that Pat Summitt had on her life, especially when she was going through a very tough time that she'll talk about in the interview, a tough time in which she went through a divorce. And Pat Summitt was one who really helped her and gave in so many ways. So we thought that with the passing of Pat Summitt, even though, as we said, we never really did an interview with her, we thought that it would be very appropriate to go back and let you listen to this interview that we did with Shayna Zolman, who played not only for Wawasee High School and for the University of Tennessee, but she also played in the WNBA with the San Antonio Silver Stars and with the Tulsa Shock. We will take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did a few years ago with Shayna Zolman. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and today we have a basketball player, former basketball player, who has left a lot of records in her wake, Shayna Zolman, 5'10", former basketball player from Indiana High School. She played for the University of Tennessee and also played in the WNBA. Shayna, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Thank you very much for having me.
You played at the high school level in Syracuse, Indiana. You played at the national level with arguably one of the best coaches in the country at the University of Tennessee, and then you played in the WNBA. Which did you enjoy the most?
Going strictly and purely for the fun of the game, it would be high school. I think anybody would tell you that because it's the purest form of it. It's just for fun. The further along you get, the more of an occupation it becomes. But I enjoyed high school. I enjoyed college because of the excitement, the level, the following, anything that you want to say about Pat Summitt. I'll enjoy the WNBA because of the freedom that you got to play with in comparison to the discipline times at Tennessee. So it's enjoyable every step of the way, but high school is probably the purest form of enjoyment.
You played at Wawasee High School, dominated, absolutely dominated in Indiana. I'm not sure that there's ever been a female basketball player, maybe a male basketball player, that I'd have to put you on the same level with guys like Larry Bird and others in this state. You played for your dad, and you scored an incredible 3,085 points from 1999 to 2002, is that correct?
Correct.
And how was it playing for your dad? You go to practice, and maybe good practice, good game, bad game, and you come home with your coach. How's that?
Yeah, it was a growing process. I always say that I loved it because we are definitely very close. I'm a daddy's girl to the core, but it was a learning process and growth for both of us because My dad was one that he never babied me. He's always harder on me, would kick me out of practices regularly to be an example.
Really?
That type. But I trusted him. I knew that he was very disciplined. I knew that he knew fundamentally what to be done. And it wasn't just about me. It was about trying to include the other girls, knowing that it's a team sport. And so how can we best manage that? But we became closer as the years went by and found out that we would have to set guidelines for ourselves, that when we were on the court, we were in the gym, we were coach, player. But as soon as that time was done, it was done. And we would come home as father, daughter. And didn't want to mix my mom or my older brother into that mix of relationship. So it was difficult at times, but we also navigated through what that looked like to be coach, player, and then father, daughter.
Well, you had, as we said, an incredible career. How did your team do? Did you guys get to the state tournament, or and first of all, what class were you?
We went back and forth between 3A and 4A.
Okay.
Kind of filtered back and forth my 4 years. We won sectionals twice, which is the first time in maybe 20 years at that point. But we never went beyond sectionals. Never got past regionals. Whether it be 3A or 4A, which is frustrating.
Well, you hold some national records. I know that you once hit 70 free throws in a row. You shot 93%. And I guess as I looked at your career and looked at some of the things you did all the way through, free throw shooting was really one of your keys. At whatever level you played at, you hit a very high amount of free throws. What's kind of your secret for shooting free throws?
Free throws is all mental. You know, you're going to put in the work as a shooter, as a scorer, as any type of basketball player. I'd hope that you would put in the work and the effort to shoot, because that's repetition, that's muscle memory. But my dad always said that basketball is 90% mental and 10% physical, and probably even more so at the free throw line. So that whenever I went to the free throw line, it was like I could breathe in a breath of fresh air, because I'm used to having, you know, somebody in my face, one or two people constantly there. So it's to be able to shoot in freedom and taking my time was absolutely a breath of fresh air, and just being able to hit something that you have shot thousands and thousands of times. So going up to the free throw line, it was always, okay, let me hurry up and make these two and just keep the game going. It was always confidence. It was being able to just go knowing you're at the same distance, the same height of basket. Nobody's guarding you. Doesn't matter who's yelling at you. Just confidence, basically.
You averaged over 30 points a game for 4 years. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. As you got into your freshman year and you went along and you started to play and dominate games that early, did you realize that you had that much talent going for you? And I know that's kind of a leading question there, because your humility probably comes in. But averaging 30 points a game that early, did you realize that you were going to dominate that game?
It was a learning process, because coming in as a freshman, you're a freshman. You know,
right.
Your seniors don't care who you are, where you come from. And for me, all I've known up to that point was AAU and summer ball, and you would play with people at your level. And I never realized it. I never thought about it differently. I always played against guys, and they were always better. So I never realized it until you got to practice, so you got to high school, and you realized that, it was at a different level, but it was still the process for me of what's the team going to do. I never wanted it to be about me. I got uncomfortable. I still do when it's about strictly about me, because it's a team sport. So it was always trying to focus on, if I needed to score that many points for us to win, let's do it. But if it wasn't, then let's do that. That was the main thing, and that's what was frustrating, not being able to go beyond regionals, you know, because it wasn't about me scoring points. And whenever it was, I tried to score points, it never happened.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny how it always backfired, but I think that it was more of, I didn't care. I was used to a certain level of playing in the summer times.
Yeah.
And this kind of just went from that point.
Now, you went to the University of Tennessee, which at the time and still is a very dominant program under head coach Pat Summitt, who, unfortunately, as we speak now, is going through some real physical issues. But was there ever anybody else on your radar, or when Tennessee came? That was the top level program, and they wanted you. Was there ever a choice as to whether or not you were going to go there or anywhere else?
Honestly, I knew as a kid growing up, I always wanted to be the best and wanted to be a part of the best. And growing up, it was always Tennessee and UConn. And so to me, I wanted, that was my goal. I set my goals to being one or the other. And you either love one or you hate them. Like, there's no, you either love Connecticut or you hate Connecticut, you know, and right. I hated Connecticut. So my thing was I wanted to go to UT. You know, there was other schools I was interested in, you know, like Notre Dame because of being close, and they just won the national championship that year coming out. So a lot of the local pressure was to go to Notre Dame. There was Duke was in the mix, you know, North Carolina was in the mix, but ultimately the minute I stepped foot on campus at UT, I knew that's where I wanted to be.
Playing for Pat Summitt, what made her special as a coach?
I call her the disciplined perfectionist. She was one that I know that she outworked any coach that she came up against. She was one that she demanded perfection out of you, but she was the one to lead it. You know, it wasn't anything that she demanded out of you that she didn't already exude out of herself. But one thing about Pat is that she lived it. She backed it up. She wasn't just about talk, but she loved you. You know, that she loved you as a person, wanted to get the best out of you as a person, but was willing to do anything and everything possible to help you reach your potential as a player. And it was always a love-hate relationship. Going through college, I didn't necessarily love her, you know, like I couldn't stand her sometimes, but now being able to look back on it, it's absolutely amazing.
Is there any one game or one moment in your career at Tennessee that stands out?
I think the one that honestly stands out was Stanford right before Christmas, my sophomore year. And it was simply because I was in the doghouse all game long and I didn't play much because I was in foul trouble. But you never want to lose going home before Christmas because that your Christmas break was then cut short. And when you came back, it was absolutely hell on earth. And we'd always played Stanford right before. We were down by 2 with 4 or 5 seconds left. She put me back in the game and I hit a half court shot to win it. And that. That was the only thing I did well the entire game, but it was simply because I knew we did not want to go home for Christmas on a loss. So that was probably the most memorable.
Our guest is Shauna Zolman. She's a former member of the University of Tennessee and also the WNBA. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk not only about her career, but also about her life. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Shauna Zolman, and this is kind of a reunion. The last time we talked, she was in high school back in probably the early part of 2000, probably was about the time that we talked, maybe 2001, and she since then has gone on to achieve tremendous things. You did go on to play in the WNBA. A lot of times the WNBA can be totally different than anything that you've ever experienced in high school or college. What, now as you look back, and you were in the WNBA for a couple of years, had some physical issues there, had tore your knee at least once, maybe twice, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But as you look back on the WNBA, how do you view that experience?
Bittersweet, honestly. Overall, if you're talking strictly basketball, it was wonderful. Because, again, coming from Tennessee, you're very structured, very disciplined, work ethic, pound, 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 go, go, go. WNBA, honestly, was a breeze in some regard. Like, not competition, not speed. There's definitely differences as far as aspects of the game go. But I went to San Antonio, which was an amazing fit for me and my game, and me personally, and grew as a specific specialist in an area as far as scoring goes there, because the coaches really worked with me individually with getting my shot quicker, of becoming the best that I could be in my specific role at that time. Not just all-around player, but that specific role. And it was freedom. And they said, you got the green light. Whenever you got the ball, you got the green light to shoot.
Good.
So it was freedom. But yes, you're right. When there was a lot of injuries too that incurred. I think just my body crept up to me over the course of many years of playing and beating it up and injury plagued towards the end of my career. But all in all, basketball wise, it was a great experience.
In checking the records, I saw in the 2 years that you were in San Antonio, you played in every game, both year, 34 mm-hmm. games regular season, both all the time. And yet, I don't know that you started a whole lot. You came off the bench quite a bit.
I was kind of the spark plug that would come in off the bench, and loved my teammates. Probably had the best chemistry of all the teams that I've played on, and held frequent Bible studies weekly. So that there's primarily, I'd probably say 80% of the girls on the team were believers, which is totally something you never hear about, never see it. So it was great. I mean, all facets of it was great. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And then the following year, my third year, I tore my ACL. The year after that, I tore my meniscus. So it was kind of in and out those 2 years. But the years that I was there playing, I had a blast. I absolutely loved what I was doing.
I think you're the third person in San Antonio that I did an interview with. I did an interview with Ruth Riley, mm-hmm. who I believe we played with.
Close friend of mine.
And Sophia.
Sophia Young.
Sophia Young. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Her last name, couldn't quite remember there. That has to be quite an experience when you're in the grind of a WNBA playing all these different games. And you talked about the fact that you were in Bible studies and you had these Christian friends. What does it mean to be on a team like this? Not only this team, but maybe not so much in high school because you're with your parents, but on this team. And I believe there were a number of Christian players at Tennessee, too.
I always had at least one.
At least one other one. What does that mean to have that camaraderie from a Christian standpoint on a team?
You can't put words to it, honestly. I've told my buddy, my best bud, Sid Spencer, who was there at Tennessee with me, fellow believer, accountability partner, you know, sister. And she, I would tell her numerous times, I said, I wouldn't know where I would be without her, or I wouldn't know where I would be without fellow believers, at least one, you know, within the course of a season, because it's, and God never calls us to live this life alone. And when you're in a season and you're tunnel visioned and you're focused on one thing and like the rest of the world ceases to exist, you think you're in this bubble that everybody cares about you and what you do and your stats as a WNBA player. And it's totally false. You know, you're kind of on your own island that you think everybody else sees you. But when you have other people that's there, that's bringing you down to earth, that's keeping you humble, that's keeping you focused on life and on Christ and on what you're supposed to be focused on. Basketball is very minimized in that regard. It's very much the thing that you do. It's not your identity. It's what you do here on this earth to some extent, helping each other, encouraging each other, challenging each other, uplifting each other in prayer, being able to be real with one another and being able to be real with some things that you're struggling with, some things that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to do it. You just don't want to be there. You want to go do whatever the world has to offer, and they're there to help keep you grounded. And that's something that God has blessed me with tremendously, because when I continued on, even in Tulsa, it was the exact opposite. You know, I didn't have that. And it was amazing the difference, like night and day, of the effect that it has you on a believer and how difficult it is for you sometimes as the lone believer in there. But the encouragement that brings you, I don't think that there's words to put behind it.
When did Christ become, shall we say, the center of your life?
Mm-hmm. Probably not until college. I grew up in an amazing family. I grew up in the church, became a believer, if you want to say it, 7, when I knew of Jesus. Didn't fully know what it meant to live a life dedicated to Christ until high school, but yet so sheltered, not living life. In essence, life didn't become real to me until college, which is why I have such a passion for it, because you're away from family, everybody you know and love, and people who have helped guided you and directed you into where your convictions are, but now it's your convictions are your own. And so college for me. And then it continued on into the pros when real life started to hit. And I had to make a decision of, do I run from you or do I run to you? And that's something that became very, very apparent and evident. When I was at UT.
2008, in the WNBA preseason, you tore your ACL. Mm-hmm. How did God and your faith get you through that particular period of time?
Well, honestly, that was the least of my worries, to be honest. A lot of the injuries that I faced, just to be transparent with you, all encompassed some issues in my marriage at that time. And so it was almost a blessing in disguise that I had different injuries. And yeah, it was difficult initially because you hear everybody else tears their ACL, not you. You know, you're invincible, but it's almost contagious. So when you do finally tear it, you're like, okay, physically you have to get back, but it's the mental part that's most difficult. But in a way, it was it set my mind at ease because I didn't have to worry about basketball, because I was working through a lot of issues in my own life and in my marriage at the time. And so it it was difficult, yes. It was frustrating, yes, because you put so much of yourself in it. Basketball for me was all I knew. You know, basketball for me ever since I was basically out the womb is all I knew. My dad being a coach, I was always in the gym. So when that's taken away from you for a time, it helps you reevaluate your life, reevaluate who you are, reevaluate whose you are, and opens your eyes to so much more. And so for me, that's what that did.
Yeah, you went through a real transitional period there where a lot of things happened in your life. And as you talked about, you had personal issues. Your basketball was fading away. Mm-hmm. You got into broadcasting for a while in Tulsa. You played for Tulsa for a short time, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you got into broadcasting. Did you see yourself as a broadcaster, or now you're in the ministry? Did you kind of feel God pulling you away from the broadcast booth and pulling you into ministry?
Broadcasting was something that I did in college. I always joke saying that I couldn't write a paper to save my soul so I could talk. So I went down the broadcasting route. And in Tulsa, it was one thing because I was, again, rehabbing my knee. And as I was doing that, I thought, you know, what better way to be a part of the team and still being able to be here than to help broadcast some of the games. And so I did that. And I didn't necessarily enjoy it, but I'm a very passionate person. And I've always been told by people that if you're not passionate about something, don't waste your time. And I wasn't passionate about broadcasting, but I prayed as my career in basketball faded, I was praying the last 2 years that God would give me a passion for something far greater than I ever had for basketball. And that became ministry. I knew I was over in Tarsus, Turkey.
Really?
And I knew at that point when I honestly told God I wanted nothing to do with him and I wanted nothing to do with forgiveness of my husband at the time. And it was at that point when I was over there for 4 months that he got a hold of my heart and completely transformed me. And I knew at that point was when I was called into the ministry. And so coming back to Tulsa, going through some broadcasting, going through my last ACL surgery and rehab, I knew at that point I was called into the ministry, but I had no idea what that looked like or where that was. So broadcasting for me was kind of a bridge to get to that point.
You're an FCA now, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You're in Washington. You're a long way from Indiana or anyplace else that you have been. How passionate are you about your ministry right now?
Ministry in general, I'm passionate. Talking about Jesus, I'm passionate. Talking about kids becoming, knowing who they are, their identity, I'm passionate. It's not about, I always tell them that you're promised the world whenever you come into college. When you're a student athlete, you're promised the world when you're recruited. But then life hits. You may not get playing time. You may not get an opportunity to show what you can do. You may be sitting on the bench. You may get injured. And their life absolutely crumbles because 70% of kids in America come from parents that there's only one in the household. Hmm. You know, there's very few people that have a solid base foundation at home. And so when your identity being sport gets ripped away from you, in essence, they completely crumble. And three kids were suicidal in one quarter that we helped walk through.
Wow.
You know, at UW. And it's stuff like that that just gets me on fire because it's a skewed sense of who you are in this world. Like, you're not a basketball player, you know, you're not a football player, you're not a soccer player, you are a child of God. And trying to get them to understand that and have them know, like, I get what you're going through, I understand what you're going through, and it far extends even more of just sport, but it's more so like the hurt. Helping the brokenhearted heal is something that I'm totally, to my core, passionate about.
That's great. We're out of time, but I want to close with this. What's a favorite verse that you have that you would leave us with?
I always go to Philippians 4:13, and it's not because you can do all things to Christ who strengthens you. It's because he gives you what you can, how you can muster up the strength through his strength that you can get through life.
Shauna, thanks for being a part of this and face-to-face. Good luck to you, and good luck in your ministry at the University of Washington. Thanks again for being a part of face-to-face.
Thank you so much.
Shauna Zolman of basketball fame. I guess that's the way we can leave it here in Indiana, University of Tennessee, and in the WNBA. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Shauna Zolman. One of the things that we always enjoy is getting a chance to talk to female basketball players because the The female game has really come along. There's no doubt about that. The WNBA now has pretty well established itself. And one of the people that we hope to have who is in the final year of her career here is Tamika Catchings. We've done a number of interviews with Tamika over the years. And, well, she's just about the Babe Ruth, if you will, of the WNBA. She's pretty well done it all. But we appreciate the female game. We appreciate the way that it's come along. And I think Shayna Zolman still holds the national record in a number of categories that she had. She had, unbelievably, that 93.5 free throw percentage in the season for her career, and 95% of the free throws in a season. And she just had a tremendous high school career. She had a tremendous college career. And we're just happy that Shayna was on the program with us back a few years ago. Well, we also want to thank you for being a part of our face-to-face golf tourney, and that's been a real pleasant surprise for us over the years. We've been able to do a lot of things there. This year it was kind of rainy, but we hope that you'll be able to come and be a part of it next year. And we also hope that you'll become a supporter of face-to-face. We have at our website, face-to-faceradio.com, a button there where you can not only listen live to all the archive shows that we've done in the past, but you can also have a chance to become a supporter of Face to Face. We are in our 24th year of being on the air, our 26th year of being an organization, and God has certainly blessed, and He's blessed with people like you who listen and believe in this, because there are so many athletes out there who want to share their faith, and only in a forum like Face to Face can they do that. So you can help us by supporting. To go to our website at facetofaceradio.com and just click on that donation button. Well, hey, as we wrap it up today, we want to take a verse from the Psalms, Psalm 34:8, and it says this: "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." God directs our paths. We thank you that He has brought you to us today. We hope that you're encouraged by the show. We hope that you'll come back again next week. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye, everyone.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202, or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000, or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.